In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Jesus Christ, the incarnate Son of God, is the fulfillment of the law. But if we interpret these words as a Pharisee would interpret them, if we interpret these words in a legalistic way, then we cut ourselves off from the new life that Christ has brought. If Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of the law in such a way that we have no participation in the spirit of the law that he fulfills, because he is the fulfillment of the spirit of the law, he fulfills the spirit of the law in his humanity at one with God's divinity. Just as every human being is meant to fulfill the spirit of the law, to be like God, to be a source of the righteousness that the spirit of the law is meant to encourage and to educate us into. The blessed Theophylact has said this: the law was unable to teach perfection because of the spiritual immaturity of its listeners. It's not that there is something wrong with the law. Jesus Christ did not abolish the law and replace it with something else, or fulfill it in a legalistic way, so that all we have to do is accept his fulfillment of the law, that he has saved us, and then we're fine. We are no longer condemned under the law. No, we are created to live according to the spirit of the law and to be sources of the fulfillment of the law in our own lives actively. That is what Christ God returns to us, so that we can live from the righteousness and the holiness of God, actively live in the world, instead of relying on some kind of mechanistic or legalistic definition of what we should do in any particular situation. If we were obedient to the spirit of the law, it would change us. It would prepare us. The way the child Mary was prepared in the temple for the day when Gabriel would come to her and ask of her what he asked of her: to bear the incarnate Son of God and his life into the world. That is what God asks of every human being: to bear the incarnate life of God into the world. Each one of us is meant to be Christ bearers. Each one of us is meant to be a living presence of the spirit of the law that is fulfilled in Christ. Each one of us has been given a life where we can live it in that kind of way. Jesus Christ is born under the law, but the law is no burden to him, because there is no conflict or contradiction between him and the law. Jesus asks the lawyer that came to him, "You want to have this life. What does the law say? Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, strength, and mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And the Son of God replies, "Thou hast answered right. Do this, and thou shalt live." Imagine, all we have to do is do what the lawyer has said. Jesus does not demand more. We might think that he demands more. We might think that he ought to ask, "Believe in me and you will be saved." But he doesn't say that. He doesn't say anything further until the lawyer crosses the line and tries to use the law, abandons the spirit of the law, and tries to use the law to justify himself. And this is what people do with the law. They will look at the letter of the law and say, "Well, how about this? Doesn't it justify my doing this or that? There is nothing in the law that prohibits me from doing something that I have in mind. Unless it's explicitly forbidden to me, why am I not fulfilling the law?" People love law because they like to be able to twist it in order to justify doing things that are contradictory to the spirit of the law. Everyone always wants to know, what is the rule? What do I have to do? What will you impose on me? That is the spiritual immaturity of the heart that robs the law of its capacity to mold us so that we are following and loving the spirit of the law. Not until the lawyer lawyers up and uses the law to try to justify himself, does Jesus demand more. Love your neighbor as yourself. Who is my neighbor? The lawyer asks. The lawyer had thought himself righteous because he thought of no one as being close to him. He thought of himself as different, superior. He can use the law to justify himself. His life is a life that is lived unrestricted by the law because he fulfills the letter of the law. He's sharp, he's smart. Others are not so smart. There are none who are as close to him as to be called a neighbor because he's above them. He can look down on them. And this is the meaning of neighbor in Greek, in the Septuagint. It means someone close to you. But the lawyer has separated himself from others. He is above them. He fulfills the letter of the law, and those are neighbor to him who are similar to him, who fulfill the letter of the law. You know, the Jews had this idea that the law only applies to the Jewish community. The prophets disagreed, but the Pharisees thought that way. The law applies only to those who are close to us because they are of Israel. Others, you can treat them a little bit differently. Judaism never becomes quite as explicit as some other religions do about how it is permitted to treat those outside of the holy community, but it comes close sometimes. This lawyer imagined that neighbors were only those who were like himself. Others, he denigrates. We do this today. We treat those who are like us in one way, and we, as the term is used, demonize those who are not like us. They are not like us. We treat them differently. They must be bound by the letter of the law. Let us force them to adhere to the letter of the law because we act in a way that is acceptable, but others don't. So we have to use force to make others comply. They are not our neighbors. They are not close to us. They are different from us. We may have to take up arms against them in order to force them to be decent. We may have to exclude them as barely human. They are not close to us. They are not our neighbors. Jesus gives the lawyer the parable of the Good Samaritan. Then he asks him, of these three, which was neighbor to this man who had fallen among thieves? The two who passed by, were they neighbors? They were fellow Jews. One was a priest, the other was a Levite. So they were neighbors according to the understanding of the time. They were like that person who had fallen among thieves. And the lawyer answers, the one who showed mercy on him, he was his neighbor. Go thou and do likewise. Now we are beyond the law. Now we are in the realm of the spirit of the law. And the lawyer knows the spirit of the law because he did answer rightly. Jesus will do this. Jesus will throw things into people's minds that mess up the gears of their ordinary way of understanding. The Samaritan, of course, is not a Jew. So the ordinary way of understanding who is my neighbor, who do I have to apply the law to and act righteously as they are my brothers and my sisters, the Samaritan comes from outside of that whole realm of understanding of how the law applies to us. The Samaritan is not a Jew. And he is the one who treats this man as neighbor. He makes the man his neighbor and treats him with mercy and compassion. The fact is that even within the Jewish community, for the lawyer, for example, under the letter of the law, each one of us is only responsible for ourselves. I obey the letter of the law. What must I do to be saved? Jesus gave the answer. But the man went too far. I am for me. You are for you. and you have no claim on me. I am independent of you. That's the point that things have come to. That's the way people think today. We are incapable of governing ourselves as individuals and as a people because of this. God does not judge us according to this individualistic standard, this interpretation of the letter of the law that excludes others and makes me superior. This standard of an individualistic righteousness that separates us from other human beings. Too often, this standard of an individualistic self-righteousness is the standard that we use in order to judge others. Even when we may give them alms, we judge them. But God will judge us not by that standard. Thank God for not judging us by that standard. All of us would be out of any hope at all. God will judge us by the standard of his own compassion on us. Christ God is saying to the lawyer, in effect, do not think that because you are righteous under law, under the letter of the law, that no one is like you. We have been created together as human beings. When the law of Moses says, thou shalt not, it is referring to all of us together as human beings. Thou shalt not behave in this way amongst yourselves. Thou shalt not treat your neighbor, your brother, your sister in a way that alienates and separates them and judges them. Thou shalt not live according to the letter of the law that separates you from the very ones that you are under the law along with, because the law is about the spirit of the law and not the letter. Jesus is saying, I made you all one of the same nature. All men are close by you. All men and women are neighbors. Be near others by the disposition of your heart. It's a matter of spiritual maturity or immaturity that makes us neighbors to others. The law of Christ is a law of mercy and compassion amongst us as human beings in communion with God, who live from his mercy. Jesus Christ and every true Christian actively receives others into the likeness of God that we share. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.